Welcome back. Hour three of the morning show. We've been talking about it for days now, but we'll say it again. How lucky are we to be witnessing some of the greatest days in the history of Tennessee basketball? And now we've got a chance to talk with the architect of the greatness. 800-plus wins, SEC champion, and the best is yet to come. I'm confident of it. Join us in welcoming to the morning show, Coach Rick Barnes. Hey, Coach. How you doing, man?
Hey, Bob. How about you, brother?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for coming on for a few minutes. First off,
sure.
Congratulations on the regular season title. And before we talk about the games, you know, from Wednesday night, what lies ahead tomorrow, I wanted to give you the floor to talk about some special players. We know that tomorrow's senior day. We've been talking about it, and we'll be seeing Triple J, Santiago, and Dalton playing their last game in Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center. It's bittersweet for us as fans, so I got to believe it must feel even more so for you as we all honor and celebrate two guys who have truly defined this program's posture, its grit, its integrity over the past 5 years, and then another player who is without a doubt one of the greatest talents this program's ever seen, and he achieved all of that in just one season in Knoxville. Now, that's my perspective. It's probably the fans' perspective, but we'd all love to hear from you, Coach, about what these young men have meant to Tennessee basketball and to you personally.
Bob, that's a great question. The fact is, I'm going to miss Santi and Josiah in ways that I don't think anyone can ever understand because of the 5 years we've been together. Those guys know me like they know the back of a book, and the fact that there's times in games when they can read me. They know when I'm upset, they know when I'm what I'm thinking, and oftentimes they'll step right in and before I can get it out when I'm maybe getting after certain things and speak up and say it. But you know, I go back when, you know, after Grant's team left here and we were in starting to really the transition from that group, and Lamonte got hurt and had to finish the season in early December, and Josiah was a freshman, and Santi came in, you know, right after Christmas, had one day of practice and was thrust out there. And you go back to those days when, you know, I think there was such a high expectation level for Josiah and Santi, no one probably knew about, but then Santi came out, I think hit 5 threes in a game. And but it was really a tough time back then. And I remember that spring that, you know, we said, hey, you guys are going to have to lead us going forward. And they've done that in a yeoman type way. And, you know, they're two so unselfish players. They really are. Their egos are such that they want to win. You can see them every day, the way they go about their work and what they do. And I think it speaks volumes, too. When Dalton came in, you know, Dalton never once said to us about starting. He never said anything about how much he was going to play. He just simply said, I want to play on a winning team. I'd like to be able to have a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. I want to help a team win. And we knew we needed to add shooting, but Santi and Joe knew that more than anybody. They knew that we had bogged down the last couple of years. And, you know, even going back, you know, Zakai had added something to that where, you know, Zakai's offense helped us. But those guys understand. You talk about an architect, they understand how it's supposed to be built too. And they knew what they were good at. They knew what our team needed. And so they really last year embraced Jordan Gainey coming in because they knew that he had led the nation in three-point shooting as a freshman at Upstate and our young players. But I think the humility of those three guys that we're going to lose has been the key to this team. Dalton, you couldn't be embraced more than he has with his teammates because of he didn't come here like, hey, I'm this, I'm that. He just said, I just want to be a part. And people have asked me before, Bob, about Santi and Joe, you know, how have they taken this? They've embraced it more than anyone because, you know, they're all about winning. They're all about this university. And so it's been an unbelievable ride for me. But I will tell you, I told the team yesterday, as we were preparing, we've scrubbed out the South Carolina game, started getting ready for tomorrow's game. And I said, if anyone ever deserved to have two senior days, it's these two guys. And I talked to the team at length about what they meant to not just me, but to the program. And I said, you know, they know more about me in this room than our assistants because they've been with me the longest. And I respect them in such a way because of what they've done to help me personally and just being with him. I've never seen him in a bad mood. I mean, we all get down, but when we're not playing well, and they know that I don't hold back. And I can tell you, of all the players that I've coached, those two probably handle me better when they know that I hate to use the word anger, but when I'm not happy with the way we've executed, when I'm not happy, especially when we go in that film room after a loss, and I'm just pointing out the obvious because the film's backing me up. But the way those guys handle guys coming out of that film room is something that people never see, and that's what I mean by how well they know me, and they know pretty much what's going to happen day to day in terms of where we are as a team and how I'm going to react. And they really help their teammates say, you got to understand where we are, where he's going. And the one thing that they know that I'm going to be consistent with them. But I think their consistency has helped me be consistent. But I'm going to miss them in a way that you can't even imagine.
After the past 5 years, you've had a lot of them. And I know you still have a month to make a few more. But is there a memory that stands out with Santee and Triple J over the last 5 years?
Well, I don't know if I could pick one, but you know, obviously when I think of Santee, where he came in at with he literally practiced one day, and first time I've ever gone to a player and said, hey man, tell me some sets that you like that you've ran that will help, that I can put in here in a day that are simple. And at the time we were kind of doing a little bit of some of the things, but he told me a couple things, and we actually put him in and helped him. Because, you know, he didn't know what he was walking into that first game against LSU. And you know, LSU was a ranked team, and nobody had any scout report on him. He went out and bombed those threes quickly. But he was in terrible shape. I mean, people don't realize. You could look back when he first got here, he wasn't in great shape in the way he's transformed his body. But, I would say a memory last year when, you know, he knew he had to go out and take a look at what was out there for his professional career. And when he called me, and I was really hoping that he would come back, but I would never say that. I would say what I've always said, that you got to go do what's right for you. You need to gather all the information. But when he told me he was, coming back, and he did it early. He didn't mess around. He found out what he needed to find out real quick. But with Josiah, totally different. We spent years recruiting Josiah. I can remember being in his home the night he committed, and his family's got a beautiful family, and just being there with his family in his house, and then getting the call that his house had caught on fire. Somebody in the neighborhood, I think, had shot some fireworks off, and the roof of his house was smoldering and eventually caught on fire, and Joe pretty much lost all of his youthful memorabilia, things that he had. I remember being in that room, his bedroom, that night, seeing it. But it's different because Santee was came in just selling, but Joe, he's a typical person recruiting. But him telling me from day one, Joe was a McDonald's All-American, and a lot of people were talking about him being one and done. And I remember him telling me, Coach, I'm not a one and done player. I don't want to be. I want to enjoy college. I want to be the best I can be. I want to work at it, and just where it takes me, it takes me. So I could, again, like you said, there's so many things I could talk about either one of them, but Joe's booming laughter voice, I hear it all the time I'll be in the film room or somewhere, and I'll hear him in the locker room, just his voice, his laughter, certain laughs you hear that I can name three guys off the top of my head, players that I coached. If I were in a room crowded and I heard a laugh, I know exactly who it was. Joe has one of those laughs, I love them both dearly, and I love them, again, the way you love a son, and I'd give them my heart. I really would, because I know they've given this university and this program everything they possibly could for the last 5 years.
Yeah, one of the things that stood out to me, one of my lasting memories, is just being down in Tampa in the SEC Tournament Championship and watching you and Josiah just hug, and you could tell the love and admiration that was there that stood out to me ever since then. I think that's my favorite memory of the last 5 years. Bob kind of laid it out in his intro, but Dalton Connect has been a joy to watch this year. He has his senior day tomorrow. At what point from him being on campus, whether it be in a visit or early season scrimmages or a game, at what point did you know you had something special with Dalton?
Well, I, you know, they showed me the video of him. That's all I knew about him when he came in, and he came with his mom. And you know, when we're here, when we bring a person on a visit, honestly, we don't change anything. I'm who I am every day. I dress the same. I do the same. I don't do anything different. I cut up. But yet, you know, when I go on the court, I get serious. I mean, I'm serious about what I do, but I love to have fun with these people. And Dalton came in, and it was so easy to be around he and his mom. And dad, and we talked. When we talked. I'm very transparent with him on the visit in terms of how I would go about doing things. And, you know, he loved KD's his favorite player and asked me stories. And I told him some of the good ones. I told him some of the tough ones that with KD. I mean, it wasn't all peachy cream with KD every time. I mean, he said the same thing to me that Dalton said. He said, I want to be coached hard. And I said, well, I can do that for you. And, but Dalton, again, when I think about Dalton, he's so humble. I could tell you last night, without even being there, I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of that facility at 10:30, 10 o'clock, 10:45, and he's walking in and getting ready to get shots up. And I said, take care of your body. And he said, Coach, I promise you I'll be in the cold tub tonight. And I know he does it. And but the way that he has humbled himself with our guys, but when he left here on the visit, I didn't think we would get him because I think he had already visited Oregon. I think he had a visit set up to go to Indiana. Then I think a week later, maybe North Carolina, maybe Kentucky was in the mention, but Mike Woodson, the coach at Indiana, had to delay the visit because I think he had to have knee surgery or something like that. And Dalton decided, because he had a great weekend here with our spring football weekend and hit it off with our players. And again, that's why you get players recruit. When you bring a recruit in, your players are the ones that's going to finish the job, really. And he called and Rod told me Monday, he said, Coach, I think we're going to get him. I said, well, we need him. And then he committed. And when he got here, you know, obviously you start hearing players talking about summer basketball when they're in their gym playing on their own, and he and Jemai going at it. But he didn't come, and I would tell you, none of us in our wildest imagination, including him, would think that he would come in and do what he's done this year and the way he's done it. And I guess the very first time when I knew that, hey, man, this guy's got something more than I even thought would have been the Michigan State game, because one, I said it after the game, I was on him about his defense all sprint, all fall, and he showed it. If he wanted to do it, he could do it. And then obviously some of the shots he made, and then that dunk, I said, wow, I hadn't seen that up until that the exhibition game. And I thought, man, when the lights come on, if he's going to take it to another level like this, we got a shot. And he's put together one of the great years in college basketball in terms of a guy that, you know, came in like this and has done what he's done with this program and this team.
We're joined with Coach Rick Barnes. Coach, moving on to some of the business at hand tomorrow. That game means a lot, obviously. It means a lot to Tennessee. We know it means a lot to Kentucky. Rivalry games always matter. But this one has even higher stakes. A win puts Tennessee, in our opinion, maybe an even stronger grip on a number one seed in the Big Dance. You know, we saw your sound bites from the locker room the other night at South Carolina, because we want to play on Monday, right? The Kentucky win would push them into the number two seed and a double bye in the SEC tournament. Of course, Kentucky certainly hasn't forgotten about that loss in Lexington earlier this season, so you know Cal's going to have them going. I would ask the question, how hard it is with all of this swirling around, senior day, all the things we've talked about, all the hype that's following this team now, to keep focus for one more regular season game. This has been a gauntlet that you guys have been running through, and there's no let up. You got to look ahead to what's down the road and could be the biggest prize of all. How do you guys approach that from a coaching perspective?
Well, we talked about it yesterday. We talked a lot about, we're always using the term mindset, and just what you're saying, we're not talking about senior day, the emotions that go with that. And I mean, our players, you know, they know what Santi and Joe and Dalton have meant to our team. And, I mean, they want to see it be well, turn out well. But, one, you know, I've always believed if you take care of business, business takes care of itself. And we have great respect for Kentucky. And we know that they're, the without question, the most explosive offensive basketball team in all of college basketball. And Cal, as you know, we have a friendship that goes back, you know, almost 50 years. And you're right, he'll have them ready. He always has them ready. And they can explode. They're a better team. They're a better team today than they were back when we played them. And I like to think we're better as well. But and we're going to go out. And, I think because of our older guys that, you know, that we'll continue. We have a way we do things. And, like today, our players know when we walk on the court. I mean, they know the system, what we expect, and how we expect to be focused. Actually, it started yesterday, and it's not today. You know, we started with our prep yesterday, and we expect them to, and talked about what you said about all the things swirling around it, people patting them on the back, saying this, saying that, and I can certainly give them examples through my time at as a head coach where I've had teams. You know, my first team at Texas, we won the Big 12 regular season, just very similar with two games, and come home on senior night, and Missouri came in and beat us, and you have to go through a trophy presentation that you really like to, at that point, pick it up and throw it down, and or you've lost the game. You know, it's, I mean, there's so many examples through the years that I've seen it, but what you hope is, again, the maturity, the focus, and everything that we've done up to this point, because you certainly want to be moving in the right direction in everything that you're doing, in terms of, you know, your mental focus and physically, guys still continuing to take care of their bodies. They were in there yesterday doing that. We had guys in there yesterday, even though it's a day that we're trying to really get their bodies back right, and certainly certain guys need it because they've logged a lot of minutes. But it's hard to keep some of those guys out of the gym, but we just ask them to be smart. And even though we talk a lot about the physical part, the mental part is more important. And that's where we've got to be focused and sharp. And so we'll have practice today. We'll have dinner tonight. We'll have come back and do our another meeting tonight after dinner. We'll get up tomorrow and do our pregame, everything that we do, shoot around. And I expect our guys to be locked in and focused like they've had up to this point, and I'll be disappointed if they're not.
Coach, having played in these big rivalry games versus Kentucky and others for, you know, for 5 years now, what is kind of a specific part of Josiah and Santi's preparation leading up to these type of games that you kind of tell younger kids on your roster to try and emulate in that process leading up to the game?
Well, they're different. Santi's the kind of guy that when practice is over with, he's going to stay and shoot a lot. I mean, he's going to do his thing either before or after practice. That's how he likes to go about doing it. And Josiah is one that he's the kind of guy tonight after we go through our meeting, you know, we'll finish up probably 9 o'clock, 9:30, something, wherever, you know, maybe earlier. It depends on what comes through my mind between now and then that I want to get across to him after the coaches. And our coaches do an incredible job with the game prep in terms of scouting and all that. But Joe will probably walk back out there. Dalton, a couple of guys will go out and shoot. I'll be surprised when I walk in today if Joe's not out there shooting or doing something. So every guy has his own way of doing things. And some guys just have to be out there. They got to have a ball in their hand, dribbling, doing something. Joe's one of those guys. Both of them, as you know, are high-level competitors. But you want guys to, again, each and every guy. When I played, same thing happened, guys. I had different ways to go about getting themselves ready. I can tell both of those guys, they're great. They'll both be extremely locked in tonight when we go into the film room along with Jemai and Zakai, those four guys. are the ones that will be asking questions and making sure that oftentimes their questions will be asked. They know the answer. They're just making sure that other guys are on the same page. When they ask questions, most of the time, I think they know the answer, but they want to make sure it's an emphasis and the other guys on the team realize how important that answer is.
Coach, we saw the video. It fired us up. It fired the entire fan base up. Monday Night Vols, that's the goal. What would it mean to you to get this team to the finish line in Arizona?
Well, that's why we do it. That's why we do it. And you know what? I think it's something that you've got to work at. You got to keep it prevalent there in your mind when you go out there, when you're in the grind the way we are. I've been blessed. God has blessed me with so many wonderful players, people in the past. And you know, I've mentioned before, I've had a couple teams. Grant asked me that the other night. He was there at the game, and he asked me, he said, how many teams do you think you've coached that you really thought had a legitimate chance? And I said, probably three. One of them got there, two of them, maybe four that, you know, that we had two that I think lost in the Elite Eight that we thought that if we could get there. You get there, you got to certainly know you got a chance to get there. But I want it. Yeah, if that's what we do, that's why we play the game, and that's why we try to get there. But I don't. Again, I want us, when it's all said and done, I just want us to be able to hold our heads high, knowing that we gave it everything we had. We made the run to get there. We did everything we could from start to finish, and I don't want to have any regrets. And I think we have regrets is when some of the things that Bob alluded to about you start letting outside things factor into it, where you lose focus for just a little bit, and that might be your preparation going, getting ready for the game. You've got to be able to handle it. Because of that, I used to not let people come around, people in the locker room, people wanting to put booms in the microphone in the huddle, all those type things. But I've changed through the years where I'm like, okay, whatever we can do to assimilate all the hoopla that's going to be around the NCAA tournament, where TVs, more people, interviews, da da da. I said, let's get that in more than anything. I'm even thinking that we're going to have to talk about next week things like you got 27 minutes on the court compared to we got a long time out there. We got 55 or whatever whenever we go out with what we have organized right now. But we need to start getting in our mind we're only going to have maybe 27 minutes on the court. Everything we've done all year is going to change, but it changes for everybody. And just those little things as a coach, you get going in your mind because you just don't want the players to lose rhythm and do what they do to stay focused. Because every game you go in and know that if both teams play well, it's a possession game, one, two possession game. But to get us to with this team to get there, it would be obviously a something that I think is special, obviously, and maybe a dream come true. I mean, I've had a chance to coach in a Final Four, and would I love it for every team I've ever coached to get a chance to be there? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something that these guys are already bonded forever, because when you win a championship, they'll be celebrated 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now, and so this group will always have a connection that – again, when you get labeled a champion, people like to bring those teams back. But right now, though, it's Kentucky, we got to get ready for them, and we know we're going to get their best shot, and hope we're ready to give them our best shot.
Coach, you've been so generous with our time. The last thing I'll say as we go out the door was watching that little scene with Santi drawing up the play at Alabama last weekend. I don't think I could love this team more. Watching you, watch him, all of that stuff. We're all going to be at the game tomorrow, cheering you on, screaming. We'll be with you all month too. Thank you so much for the time, and wish you the best tomorrow and throughout March too.
I appreciate Bob, and I tell you what happened there. Santi and I, we were looking at each other, and we were talking about what we wanted to run. And we knew we wanted to end end up with the ball back in Sakai's hands at the end of the set, and we wanted to try to get Tobey, and so we have a play call, and it's called New York, because you know it's really going to end up back with Sakai, I said make sure we look at the first option, and Santi knows everything we're doing. He looked at Tobey, said, "Tobey, you know what that means," and Tobey looked at him like a little bit not so. Santi, I thought it was great. He looked in his eyes. I looked in his eyes like, "Hey." And so Santi grabbed the board and said, "Look, you get right here, and you don't move. You stand right." And he actually put the exact spot on the floor where we always talk about it. Most of the time, our post guys leave early, and it takes away space. But Santi said, "You get right here, and don't you move until I come across the lane and give you more room to operate." And I loved it because Santi read his eyes perfectly and knew that he was, it just gave – Tobey gave off the impression he wasn't quite sure, but he thought. And so, again, that goes back to Santi and Josiah. Those guys, they know their teammates as well as coaches do. And that, and I loved it. I love it when our players are that locked in.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks for sharing all that. That's great. Coach, go get them tomorrow, man. We'll be there cheering for you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. God
yes,
bless.
Sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a great day. I ran out of time. I was going to ask him who he had at the WrestleMania main event, but maybe Eli will give us an answer. Coming up next, appreciate Coach Barnes for all of his time. Some great insight. You know, I maybe jinxed myself, Sam. I said I don't get emotional about, you know, the players leaving and everything, and mm-hmm. I gotta be honest. The first couple answers from Coach Barnes there, talking about how much Santi and Joe mean to him, I felt a little something. I don't know if it was a tear, but the hair on my arms raised a little bit. My eyes did get a little misty.
You weren't alone, man. You weren't alone. That was something.
I do still think about that hug that him and Joe shared in Tampa after winning that SEC championship, and it meant a lot. And I kept coming back to that, you know, during Josiah's struggles as well, you know, as he was kind of struggling last year and at times this year, and just thinking about the relationship those two have and how much it means to both of them. I'm so happy that they are both, and Santi and Dalton and the whole team is getting to enjoy this season and winning a championship, at least having something that will have you remembered and celebrated, you know, in future Tennessee basketball historic moments. They have a chance to add to that, and that's pretty exciting too. We'll switch gears. We'll do a little weekend betaway with Eli Hershkovich. We'll talk some conference tournaments in the weekend that's coming up. Stick with us. It's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. All right, it's time for our weekend betaway. Eli Hershkovich, thelines.com. Eli, top of the morning to you.
What's going on, guys? What a weekend in college basketball. I got to say, it's pretty fulfilling to join you guys after Rick Barnes came on the show. Big weekend for your Vols, even though you already wrapped up the SEC regular season title against South Carolina earlier in the week. I'll give you that.
I got to say, Eli, That's two times now I've tried to talk you out of going against the Vols. I've tried to make you an honorary VFL. First when they went to Rupp, and then last week as they were headed to Alabama. You picked against Tennessee, and look what happened to you.
Well, let's recall that I did say if Latrell Wrightsell wasn't going to suit up for Alabama,
there you go, the
he
caveat.
Didn't play. He didn't play, so I think I still deserve my honorary VFL title.
I'll give that to you because you had a couple rites of passage this week, I noticed. I saw you arguing on behalf of Dalton Connect online against the haters that said he shouldn't be celebrating a conference championship. And also another rite of passage is getting into an argument with a current or former Tennessee basketball player. I saw that Lamonte Turner found your tweet that you had tweeted to me about not forgiving him, and he said he didn't apologize to you.
Listen, I was trying to keep it cool on social media. I still think, you know, your listeners and viewers won't like to hear this, but I do think Turner ended up fouling Carson Edwards when all is said and done. But we like to keep peace. We're pacifists here, at least on my end of the floor.
We've all had that same argument for the last 5 years, so I found it funny. There's a portion of the fan base that thinks Lamonte fouled. There's a portion of the fan base that doesn't think he fouled. But either way, it was a heartbreaking loss, and it was nice to know that you were bathed, you were baptized in fire with us to earn your VFL status back in 2019.
Yeah, I was on the Volunteers going back to, what, 4 or 5 years ago to win the national championship. That wasn't midseason. That was preseason coming off of that round of 32 loss to Loyola Chicago. I may not be an honorary VFL guy, but I covered that Ramblers team back in the day. So I hate to say it, but I was also rooting for Clayton Custer, Ben Richardson, and that Loyola Chicago group against your Vols.
Who was that? Who was that big dude? Cameron Krutwig, or what was his
Krutwig.
Name?
He was Krutwig. A stud.
Yeah, he was. Got a little Robbie Avila in him, is what I see, without the rec specs.
I don't blame you there.
Now that we've made it to March, one last question about Tennessee. Are you buying Tennessee's chances to win the national title? Do you buy them as a legitimate threat or somebody that we should deem as one of the co-favorites, if you will?
Absolutely. They are right up there with Tennessee, or obviously we're talking about the Vols, but right up there with Houston, UConn, Purdue. Of those four teams, I still lean towards, it may seem like a cop-out or the surface-level approach, but I do think UConn is deserving of being the odds-on favorite to win the national championship, and even for novice college basketball fans that don't follow the betting market super closely, UConn is favored. And coming off of that win at Marquette, yes, Marquette star Tyler Kolek didn't suit up, but their defense and offense, and I start with the defense just because that's what Dan Hurley's team relies on, but they're clicking at both ends of the floor. Cam Spencer was one of, and I'll go as far as saying, if not the best, transfer pickup in the offseason. I know Dalton Connect fans will disagree with me there, but I think he may have been a bigger addition and a better fit for Dan Hurley's motion offense than what Jordan Hawkins was last year. I will say with Connect, the one concern I have for the Vols, and maybe if you want to strip away my honorary VFL status officially after this one, I get it.
You're on thin ice, Eli.
The Vols have survived some poor shooting performances for Connect over the last couple of games. Now, you can accredit that to Bama and South Carolina doubling him probably on just about half of Tennessee's offensive possessions when he touches the ball in a scoring situation. And let's be honest, he's a threat whenever he touches the ball from any area of the floor, even when it's just above the half-court line. But will that sustain itself in the big dance is the big question. Josiah Jordan-James has continued to hit big shots throughout the season. I think we could all agree that wasn't necessarily the case, especially going back to the FAU game in the Sweet 16 last year, not to bring up harsh memories, but Tennessee has more shot makers outside of Connect. I just worry about that continuing on the big stage on a neutral floor in a few weeks.
Eli, thanks for joining us, by the way. The one thing I would say to you is you had to bring up Cam Spencer. As a guy who's also a Purdue fan, he daggered them in West Lafayette last year when he played for Rutgers. And what I can't take is how much trash he talks. Not a fan, but he is a great player, and he has been a really impactful transfer for Hurley. I'll give you that. Let's talk about some of the games this weekend. Besides the obvious one we're covering with Tennessee and Kentucky, two big ones come to mind for me. Obviously, Carolina at Duke, and then also a game I think that could be sneaky, maybe, or we'll learn a lot more about Houston and how really resilient and tough they are. Is the Cougars going to play in Phog Allen against Kansas, who is absolutely scuffling, but this is the type of game with Bill Self where maybe they would sneak up on Houston and beat them. Any thoughts on both these games?
Yeah, let's start with Duke-UNC. We touch on this all the time, or at least when I'm on with you guys. Opening line, very, very important, and trying to get a jump on the betting market. I'm really curious to see where this one lines that from the get-go. Duke probably over a possession favorite, so just to clear that up a little bit, I'm assuming they're going to open around -3, -4. So you have to win by 4 or 5, depending on the spread. But I do think Duke wins this game fairly comfortably, just based off of them peaking over the last few weeks. And when you think about superstars in college basketball, not just Dalton Connect, not just, so not that I want to call Cam Spencer a superstar, but still an unheralded star for sure among high major programs. But for Duke, Sean Stewart is one of those guys. When you think about this Blue Devils team, first names that come to mind, Kyle Filipowski, Jeremy Roach, Tyrese Proctor, who's starting to play like he did when Duke made that run all the way through the ACC championship. Yes, your Vols beat Duke in the round of 32 last year, but they did start to peak. And I think we're seeing the same thing with the Blue Devils currently, especially with the freshman Sean Stewart, what he means to this team. Having, I don't want to say a legitimate rim protector just because he's not 7 foot like Derek Lively was last season, but he gives them a little bit more post-up defense, you know, a little bit more of an upgrade at that spot from a little less physical Filipowski and Ryan Young, one of their grad transfers from a couple of years ago up front. And then I mentioned Proctor. He's healthy, playing off of that wrist injury and concussion that he suffered earlier in the season, averaging about 12 points per game in his last 5, which may not seem like a lot, but Duke has needed some tone setters, especially when Filipowski and Mark Mitchell, when he's missing shots early on. The presence that Proctor has brought to this team now that he's fully healthy, I think, is going to be big in this matchup. But I mentioned Stewart. I think his presence against Baycott will be big for Duke defensively, especially when it comes to the Blue Devils trying to control and dictate the tempo, which they weren't able to do in that first UNC matchup. So assuming Duke can get some transition opportunities early, I like Duke to cover the number. Keep in mind, hopefully you get a good number on Duke at around -3, -4, but I still like the Blue Devils. And then you mentioned Houston, Kansas. Houston's depth is a big-time issue for the Cougs right now. I know they're going for an outright Big 12 regular season championship, but up front they have a ton of injuries, including Tugler, one of their freshman bigs, who's out for the rest of the season. Juwan Roberts, a veteran up front, had about 7 stitches in his hand, essentially playing with one hand over the last week. So I wouldn't be surprised if Houston isn't going to go all out in the Big 12 tournament. You would expect a full effort to win the Big 12 regular season title and their first chance to do so against Kansas. It's kind of the opposite approach that I had with the Jayhawks from last weekend, just because we didn't know whether Kevin McCullough was going to play in that game, let alone play the rest of the season. But he seems like he's going to be good to go and is getting healthier off of that knee injury. So I think Kansas may keep this game a little closer than the market thinks. Houston outright, but Jayhawks potentially keeping it close with the Cougs.
I know you've broken that game down a lot on today's podcast that just came out. Outside Shots on the Lines podcast feed. I've added that whole feed to my daily rotation of podcasts I listen to, whether it be Eli and the Outside Shots crew or the NBA guys giving their bets of the day. Some good content if you want more basketball and gambling-centric stuff. Go subscribe to the Lines podcast wherever you get your podcast. I also, Eli, am riding with you in Belmont. You got me on Belmont 19-1 to win their conference. We got off to a good start last night, beating up on the 12 seed. Is there still time? Do we still have time for a couple more picks in these conference tournaments for our audience here? Is there anybody else they should be circling?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Belmont playing Northern Iowa today. If you wanted to get the best of the number there over at thelines.com in my write-up, I like your 19-1 pick for sure when it comes to the betting odds, but I got 25-1 on Monday, so that just goes to show you that the average listener that's just starting to get into sports betting, you really want to get a jump not only on point spreads, but also on the futures market, even though 19-20-1 is, like I said, still a good price. But I expect Belmont to be able to take care of business today against Northern Iowa. Big reason why I was high on the Bruins coming into the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. They're not only the hottest team entering the Arch Madness dance, even though Northern Iowa is right up there as well, their opponent today, but they're also the healthiest they've been all season. Jakobi Gillespie dealing with an injury that kept him out for 5 to 7 games earlier in conference play. He's arguably one of the most underrated point guards, not only at the mid-major ranks, but in college basketball. And Belmont can shoot it from all over the place. And I think they'll be able to space out this Panthers defense. So I like Belmont against Northern Iowa today. That line moving from UNI -1 to Belmont actually being a favorite. I would expect them to close right around that number. And then looking at the rest of the conference tournament slate today, Drake against Illinois-Chicago, or Drake against Evansville, I should say, UIC playing Bradley. But Evansville coming off of their win over Illinois State, we've seen unders cash at a higher rate in St. Louis over the last 5 years to almost a decade. And that's just because typically when teams, whether it's you're coming off of a game or in general, whether it's conference tournaments or in the NCAA tournament, you may get a cold shooting night just on a neutral court, just because shooting backdrops are a bit different than what you get on your traditional home court advantage or just across college basketball road or home situation. So I think the under is worth a look there. Drake can be a high scoring team for sure, right up there with Indiana State, but they do play at a below average pace, and Evansville pretty similar in that sense, and for sure below average offensive efficiency when it comes to the Missouri Valley Conference. So I think an under is worth a look in one of the latter Arch Madness games as well.
All right, Eli, on the way out, we got to ask you what your thoughts are on Tennessee hosting Kentucky. Tennessee trying to continue their march to a one seed, the first ever in program history. The SEC championship already wrapped up, of course. Kentucky coming to this game a little bit desperate in terms of their SEC seeding, at least. How do you see it playing out?
So I mentioned you can officially strip away my honorary VFL status. I'm not going to give you a straight-up winner, just because that's not the way the point spread is going to be constructed for this game, and that's to the Vols' credit. I think Tennessee will open around 6-7, maybe a little bit bigger, so a 6 or 7 point home favorite in Knoxville. It's senior night, so you would expect, or senior day, depending on where you're watching this game. But Kentucky's still with a chance to get a pretty high seed in the SEC tournament, so while the SEC regular season title is wrapped up, the Wildcats still have a lot to play for in this game, and also going for revenge after the Vols took care of business at Rupp a few weeks ago. And Kentucky's defense still isn't anything to write home about, but I think they're playing a little bit better at that end of the floor. I think anyone that watches the SEC, or Kentucky in particular, can attest to that. And when it comes to the actual matchups in this game, defensively, for Kentucky, it's going to boil down to the glass, just because Tennessee has a little bit more size than Kentucky, or they, when they play the bigger lineups, they do for sure, and they're definitely more aggressive on the glass when you look at the overall offensive and defensive efficiency numbers in the rebounding department. And then for Tennessee offensively, besides Connect kind of having a cold game at Rupp, Ziegler especially was on from behind the arc, and when he was shooting from 27, 28 feet, it seemed like. So whether Tennessee carries over their three-point shooting from the first matchup against Kentucky is going to be a key. Also, whether Connect gets back on track here. But with that said, I do think the Cats keep this one close just because of the way they're operating offensively. And they're also healthier with Trey Mitchell officially back from that shoulder injury. So close game, like I hit on, not going to give you an official straight up pick, but I do think Kentucky covers.
Okay, Eli, 3 for 3 in terms of picking against the Vols, but this one's just for Kentucky to cover. I will allow it. Give Eli a follow on X. Go subscribe to the podcast. Read his work on thelines.com. Appreciate your time as always, Eli.
Good luck this weekend, and good luck to our Belmont Bruins. Hopefully next week you can call me an honorary VFL.
There we go. Appreciate
Thanks.
The time. Have
Thank
a good weekend.
You, Eli.
You too, guys.
All right, Belmont, let's go. Let's go, Belmont.
Go, Bruins.
Let's go. We'll wrap up the show with the best and worst we saw from the week. We'll get you to the G.I. Jake show. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been?
All right, let's wrap up this Friday edition of the morning show. Again, giving away some baseball tickets at 11 a.m. to members of the new 37 Club. Go to fanrunradio.com to read more about that. Anything else we need to hit before we get out of here?
Happy birthday, John.
No, it's too late, Sam.
Come on.
It's too late. Charlie texted you and told you. It's too late.
That was going to be my winner
I've
of the
sat
week.
Sat here by myself all day.
That was going to be my winner of the week.
Just stewing. Just
people
stewing.
Who have known today, John
I reminded
Reed.
You for weeks now, both of you. For weeks I've said March 8th. Keep it in mind. That's my birthday. Friday, that's my birthday. I mentioned it many times.
I was thinking it might be. I had it mixed up.
That's too late, Bob.
Well,
there's no mix-up. There's just a complete lack of love here in this room. That's what there is.
It was bad on us, I will say.
Benedict Charlie, the first person at the station, who's no longer at the station anymore. Benedict Charlie, he was the one.
And you offered to get me a biscuit this morning.
I offered
morning.
To get you a biscuit.
I should have been getting you a biscuit.
On my
right?
birthday.
I know, I'm sorry.
I called Bob, hey, you want a biscuit? Hoping he'd be like, oh, don't worry, I brought you breakfast, buddy. You ain't got to stop and get one. I brought Sam a biscuit. I bought him a biscuit on my birthday. It's fun.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
The Friday biscuit does mean a lot.
You're welcome. It's always I always feel a little bad buying you one because I know that you're going to not eat it until after the show and it's going to be cold.
I eat it after every – I throw it in the air fryer.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to eat it hot.
Now I feel bad since I've gotten you a biscuit like three of the last four or five times. I feel bad when I come and don't bring you one, so I just always kind of throw an extra one on there. You do
Thanks.
Good work. That's the least I could do for you.
Thanks
but
for the week. Here's a biscuit.
I'm glad that my love for you two is not returned.
No, yeah, you can
It'll be
you
returned.
Can pull up on March 31st with a bag of coal for me.
You're not getting anything. A bag of coal, you can at least use that. You can at least use that for your grill. I'm not getting you nothing. I'm not getting you nothing, not a damn thing.
Losers of the week, Bob and Sam, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least Regal, they've sent me a free large combo. Shout out to Regal. A free large combo for the birthday.
I only got a popcorn.
Well, you're not. You don't subscribe to the,
I'm not the, member.
The thing. Yeah, I'm a member, so they up it a little bit. So free large combo. That's a good $20 little gift right there. That's the best gift I've gotten so far.
I got my little popcorn email on the 1st, and it was like used before the 31st. I was like, well, my birthday is the 31st. Like, what if I want to watch a movie on my birthday?
Yeah, that's tough. And I plan on actually using it after the show. I'm going to go see the Dune 2. I'm going to see that this afternoon.
Nice. You going to buy the popcorn bucket?
No. I've heard that it doesn't feel good. Bob, you got anything to wrap up the show?
Yeah, quick best and worst of the week. The best is, hey, we're riding the wave. We're getting a lot of great feedback on the interview with Coach Barnes, and it just got me looking at other stuff on social media during the commercial break. A clip I hadn't seen of Vescovy hugging it out with his father from Uruguay after the game. I mean, a hard, long hug. And then I would tell you, if any of this stuff is getting you in the feels like it is me, go to Tennessee Basketball. If you haven't seen this, it's 20-ish minutes long. It's worth the watch, and it's regarding Santi and Josiah talking about how they met and the brotherhood that they forged in the past 5 years. If you can't watch that and walk away without being a little emotional, then you don't have a pulse. It's unbelievable. It's really, really good. Worst of the week is, oh, my God, this is sad. Fans that went to that Kansas City Chiefs-Miami playoff game, remember the one that was so cold? Some of them now have been diagnosed with such severe frostbite that doctors have recommended amputations. It's like, man, I am not that kind of football fan, got to tell you.
Do we know what the numbers are? I know 70%, but was it like 7 out of 10?
I don't know. That is the question that's come up. Is it just a couple people or not? But it's however many it is, it's like it's pretty sad. It just – didn't expect to hear something like that, you know, like 6 weeks later. Those are my best and worst.
I think that's my best. You go out there, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Assume the risk.
Wow, that's upbeat.
Well, you go out there, you want to be the guy taking your shirt off and standing around.
I'm with you, John. I'm with you.
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Man attacks wild animal bites him. I don't feel bad for the person.
I'm right there with you.
You go out, you go swimming after eating, you don't wait 30 minutes, you get a cramp. That's on you, buddy. That's on you. I thought there was plenty of good this weekend. I mean, Tennessee won a championship. you know, that's always number one in my opinion. That big busty woman behind Steph Curry, sure. That was really great. Anthony Edwards, you know, the play of the week in terms of his block shot. I thought there was a lot of great going around this week. In terms of bad, I mean, we've kind of already belabored it and bemoaned it, but that nerd McLovin crying about Dalton Connect celebrating a championship, I thought that was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And then my two coworkers that I used to consider friends.
I'm sorry.
My two coworkers that I used to consider friends forgetting my birthday and making me sit here by myself, answering my phone, you know, getting plenty of text messages. Shout out to everyone who's texting me. It's fine.
Hey, man. Seriously, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, John.
I'm just kidding. It doesn't actually bother me, guys. It's okay.
It's a bad move.
We all have birthdays. It's fine.
It's a bad move.
It's fun. We all have birthdays.
It's on us.
I've got
nothing special. March 31st. And I believe you said, Bob, August 17th. Is that right?
Yeah, good memory.
No. I'm terrible with birthdays, too. Like, I forget my own.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I've got, like, a Quest protein bar in my bag. I could give you if you'd like.
A little salty. I didn't get offered any cheese. But either way, let's have a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday. Not Bob. Bob's headed out of town for the week. It'll just be me and Sam. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.